Hello, welcome to Spotlight on Arts with me, Rob Watson, and today I'm joined by Maddie Kitchen. How are you today, Maddie?
Hi, Rob. I'm very good, thank you.
And we're going to be talking about the Recovery Street Film Festival. I suppose the starting point for that is to, I mean, I'll get you to put it in your own words, is what is the Recovery Street Film Festival? And why is it relevant? We'll jump in at the deep end, and then I'll find out more about you as a person as we go along.
Sure. The Recovery Street Film Festival is the only UK-wide film festival for people who are affected by substance use. So that could be ourselves, or it could be a loved one, or people who work with us. And we ask for 1 to 3 minute films. And the theme this year is rewriting the script, and people make short films about their experience and their recovery.
So what does that involve? So the kind of experiences that people bring to the table, what have you done in the past with people?
So, for instance, I've made 3 films. I've had 3 films in it, and I've never won, funnily enough. I've been in recovery. I'm quite long term in recovery from alcohol dependence. So my films are about how I made the first steps into recovery from that, and what my life is like in recovery. So we see a lot of narratives about, you know, how, you know, the gritty stuff and the suffering of the person and the people around them. But this is about finding some pathway through that those awful experiences and coming out the other side. So it's really about hope.
And so there's a range of films that get submitted, and there's a range of people who submit those type of films. Is this like a professional film process, you know, kind of a festival, or is it like ordinary people can have a go? And, you know, where's it pitched in that way?
So the festival is for people who are affected by substance use. And that's the only prerequisite that we say. We do have some professional filmmakers who are in that group. But a lot of our filmmakers aren't. And it's not important whether we make a film on FX3, a Sony FX3, or a mobile phone. It's the story, and that's really what we're looking for. So it's open to people who have experience of substance use.
So it's kind of having a wide view of what the type of films are. What struck you? Give us an example of something that has challenged you, maybe, that you've seen that you've thought, well, actually, from a filmmaking point of view, you know, it doesn't stand up as well as compared to others. But from a storytelling point of view, how do you know when you're watching them that there's a kind of honesty with them?
It's a visceral feeling. It's like a feeling that you get from watching the film. You know, it's all storytelling. It's all based on someone's narratives. But, you know, there's a number of films that have been made on smartphone. And one of them was made in Leicester. And it was about a library. It was about, a book club. And it's the story is told in such a way that it's really impactful, and it wouldn't be the same if it was shot on a high production camera. We have lots of examples of that if you want to have a look at the films on our YouTube channel.
And a lot of films, I suppose, they the accessibility of the equipment that people have now, you know, we have a phone in our pockets. Have you seen a shift and a change in the way that people are thinking about communicating and sharing their experiences in filmmaking ways, but using technology which we didn't have 5-10 years ago?
I mean, things have radically changed since Recovery Street Film Festival started, which was 12 years ago, you know, and the whole social media thing didn't exist then. So we didn't have what we have now, lots of confessional, you know, people talking about their experiences with drug use and overcoming them, or so there's the, you know, there's the whole social media thing, and obviously you know, people can take those skills and turn them into films quite easily. You just, you know, put your camera in landscape rather than portrait. That's, you know, probably the biggest lesson that I teach when I do filmmaking workshops. So yeah, absolutely. But this is, it's different because, or special because these are all lived experience voices. So the strength of having lived experience voices is that you can't hear those voices anywhere else. You might be able to hear some of them on social media, but there's such a kind of blitz or blizzard of what is available. And specifically, it's about making a film. So it's a creative process to describe your journey. So it's all about film. It's about creativity, and it's about confidence. I think it's really about, like, for instance, when I made my first film for them in, I think it was 2018, and then it was shortlisted the next year, and seeing my short film on the screen was just like a massive wake-up call, like, oh my gosh. It's the most incredible feeling. That's why I believe in it, the power of film to change the way we feel, and also to reduce stigma. You know, lived experience voices, this is how it is. You know, we're human beings, we're not bad people, things have happened to us. And yeah, it's about stigma busting. It's about empowering us as a recovery community and showing how diverse and creative we can be.
What's your background in terms of filmmaking? How did you get into filmmaking?
So I've done filmmaking all of my life. I did a degree in filmmaking, specialising in TV production, and then I worked at ITN. So I'm actually from a sort of kind of newsy, but it was always social documentary and using film to uncover truth, social impact. And then I worked at something called the Media Trust, which is a broadcasting charity in London, which was brilliant. I loved it. You know, that was a lot of charity films. So because of my lived experience, I'm somebody who developed severe depression at the age of 19. That's a sort of mood disorder that has lasted throughout my life. Obviously, I'm very well, and you probably wouldn't guess, but there have been periods of my life when I've been extremely ill. And that led me to self-medicate with alcohol, and that is how I became alcohol dependent. So it was actually 20 years ago on last Sunday that I surrendered and thought, I can't live like this anymore. During my recovery, I have relapsed twice because of my mental health. In the 12-step fellowship that I'm part of, I can say that I'm going to be 15 years sober in November. But I've always been a filmmaker. Filmmaking is in my family. And it has helped me enormously. I can't imagine what it would have been like not having that there. So it's fundamental to who I am as a person. And I've seen the way that it can help other people.
And what kind of stories are you personally drawn to making? I mean, well, you know, we have to do a job and we have to tell to do things that are, you know, routine, if you like, in order to pay the bills. But when you're sitting and said, this is the film I want to make today, and you have that opportunity, what are the kind of things that you like? There's things that we'd like to do in the future, but what have you found the most, you know, that's what I'm looking for, the most nurture and the most joyful. Difficult. They can be very difficult, can't they? They don't have to be easy. What are the ones that you've worked on?
I mean, I obviously want to work with lived experience people, and so I set up Sobriety Films in 2019, which is CIC. We use film to champion recovery from addiction, mental health, and trauma, which is my experience, and we work with other lived experience people in filmmaking. And for me, it's always about search for truth. its truth and its authenticity. And it's about finding people who don't have voices and giving them a voice. And because that was my experience back when I was 18, yeah.
So there's something about the filmmaking process, which I suppose, I mean, I'm not a filmmaker, so I do this with audio. You
know, I know.
You know. But it does strip things away. And it's like you're left with the lone voice. And it's a reflection. One of the things I think we can do with podcasting, which... if anybody's interested in this, is using it as a therapeutic process of reflection and listening back to yourself. And the filmmaking process, how have you found that what's the techniques you've developed through sobriety films that have, used that therapeutic as part of the process of making the film? It's kind of like, I mean, one of the things about, you know, we talk about community media, one of the things I think... crucial to remember, and I was trying to remind people at this, is that it's the participation in the process. It's not necessarily what the outcome is.
Exactly.
But it's what you, is that John Ruskin thing, it's not what you get for it, it's what you become by it.
Yeah.
And trying to get that in to the mindset of people to kind of go, let people have a go.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
What's your experience been like with filmmaking?
That's exactly what it is. It's not about the final product. It's about being part of a group and sharing our experiences and then creating something together. And there's, you know, filmmaking is so wide. There's something for everything. So, excuse me, something for everybody. So they might be interested in camera work or sound, directing, producing, you know, all kinds of parts in film. But it's really, I mean, for me, it's when I'm working with a group and they don't have any filmmaking skills, which they don't need, it's about discovering their creativity, their inherent creativity, which is something that's different. It's just set apart from the part of them that has suffered a lot or has been addicted or has been in pain or is in pain and is addicted. So it's like, I describe it like the, you know, it's the flow state for me. I will get completely hyper-focused on editing or, you know, or getting that beautiful shot. It is the group process. It's how we all work together to create something. And that is magic. That's magic. And then the cherry on top of that is to get that short film on the screen. And for somebody in early recovery, that's a gold mine, you know? It's like saying you exist, you have made this, and people who are watching it, they're moved by it. You know, they understand your story. It's all about empowerment.
I think in the West, we are so focused on thinking, logic, process and things. We don't really have a lot of time to think about feeling. Now, feelings are different from emotions. Feelings are, you know, anybody who knows me knows, I've repeated this many times, but Carl Jung says that we don't have feelings, feelings have us. So we're gripped by feeling, we're gripped by emotions. But feelings are something, it's about the judgments of, is this right? Does this fit? Does this make sense? Can I move forward with this? Can I move forward? Am I understanding this other person right? What am I being asked to do? Does that fit? And the breakdown of harmonious social engagement, the fragmentation of society means that people have to resort to self-medication, obsessive compulsive behaviour, shopping, you know, kind of dangerous behaviour, whatever it is, there's a kind of a shift away from a kind of supportive communal life. But that's because we don't talk about feelings. But the filmmaking process, it's maybe not explicit, but it's from what you're saying, to me, it sounds like it's there. Am I reading something into that? Or
absolutely. I mean, and also Carl Jung spoke about individualization or...
Individuation.
Thank you. Which is all about finding ourselves, which is exactly what recovery is about. And finding your authentic self away from substances.
So, for example, When somebody's sat and they say, "How are you feeling?" and they say, "Well, I'm hungry." that's not really a feeling. That's a sensation. Mm. So we say, "Well, whose feelings are you feeling?" And often, a lot of people can get into trouble because they're actually bombarded by other people, so sort of like an abusive relationship or bad parenting or an aggressive society where feelings. The filmmaking process says that there's one of Jung's. Colleagues, Marie-Louise von France says, the hardest thing to ask anybody mm-hmm. is, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And if you can't, you know, most of the time we'll say, well, according to this or according to that. But when you actually look at people and you get them in a position where you're saying you're making a film, they're the subject of a film, you're trying to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, well, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And that can be that those moments of realization.
Yeah.
Almost epiphany.
Yeah, absolutely. That is exactly what happens. So, for instance, when I'm working with a group, I start off by saying, you know, what's your favourite film? And that will reveal a lot about people. When people ask me that, I'm like, oh gosh, I can't answer that. You know, there's millions. But
you do know I'm going to ask you that
then. Oh no! Well, I'll tell you my favourite recovery film. It's Sound of Metal, Riz Ahmed, and it's a beautiful film because it's about recovery and it's not about the messiness of living in addiction, and it's told in a real left field way, a part of recovery that we rarely see, and it involves like the deaf community. Beautiful film, perfection. Anyway, now I've forgotten what I was saying, so bring me back.
So about feeling and the process of uncovering or negotiating feelings as a group. As almost as if filmmaking is a therapeutic process.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always ask people, so what's your favourite film? And then they will say, I don't know, for instance, The Godfather. And then I'll say, well, what is it about that film that you like? And they'll describe some aspect of it that appeals to them. A lot of men say that's their favourite film. And then I ask them, like, what does creativity mean to you? And then what does recovery mean to you? And from them being able to tell their personal stories, which they haven't been able to tell in that way before, it is like opening up something which they haven't necessarily, well, they haven't shared with a group, with other people, for instance, and they haven't thought of how they can translate that into visual images and film. And so it's a highly exploratory, who am I? You know, this is my story. This is what happened to me. This is what my life is like now. And it took me many years in recovery to find out who I was. I've had a lot of psychotherapy. That's why when you were talking about Jung as well, I was like, okay. He was one of the, he was a supporter of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think I would rather watch a film by somebody like who made a film for our film festival than a glossy Hollywood piece of rubbish, you know? It's moving away from it's moving away from fake back into, which we used to have, I feel, and now everything's got so homogenized and, you know, packaged for an audience. This is actually really about, you know, human feeling. So
you strip this down, the filmmaking process starts with the script, with the idea, the imagining, that imaginative. Can you then write it down? Because it's like, we think of filmmaking as this big technical process with thousands of people working on it, but actually it starts with somebody having an idea in their head.
It's storytelling.
I've woken up so many times.
Exactly.
So that would make a great movie.
Exactly.
What I've dreamt.
Exactly.
But I've never been the person to write it down.
So I'll tell you one way. I've worked with so many people, and a lot of people are like, I can't make a film. And I'm like, yes, you can. Everybody can make a film. And I just remember one particular lady, and she was like adamant, I can't. And one of the questions that I like to ask people is, who do you love most in the world? And it's that's also really, really revealing, because not many people say myself. And that's pretty true, I'd say, of people who suffer with addiction, or, you know, the people around them. So she didn't have family around her, and I said, who else is there in your life that you love? And she said, my cat. And then this whole narrative started to come out of her about how this cat had been on her recovery journey with her, had seen her using, had seen her overdosing, had seen her survive. And then this lady started saying this amazing poetry, like, that she'd written like 10 years before. And I was just like, wow, it's finding the key, you know. And it's like, it's believing also that it's there. I know it's there, and I'm just trying to, like, tease.
And we have a thing where it's people often said to me, you know, it's like, you give people permission. So I don't give anybody permission to do anything. This really spooked me out when somebody said this. I mean, no, but you inspire people. I'm like, I don't inspire anybody to do anything. But there is that moment where somebody finds that confidence. You've just inspired that woman to talk about her dream and her relationship with her cat and the value that that has, her feelings about that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it takes a story, it develops a life of its own, and the story becomes kind of a self-telling kind of thing, and it just keeps going forward because you found the right framework.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like art therapy. I'm not a therapist. I'm just a peer. I'm a peer. I've been there and I'm still there. You know, so and I do see things visually, but I also have a lot of the time I have a dialogue in my head. It's like when people say it's hard to write dialogue, I think, no, it's not. I can hear it now. It's in my head. And it's just, yeah, it's in all of us. It might not be film. That might not be the key. It might be radio, you know, or it might be art. But I can quickly see for those people that it, you know, that who are into film, that it's life changing. And yeah, it's I'm very lucky to be in recovery, and to be doing what I do today, which is the Recovery Street Film Festival.
So what are you looking forward to about two things, for the festival and for yourself?
The whole process of doing the festival, I've been
you live and breathe it, don't you? It's like something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I dream about it and I wake up at night, oh no, I haven't done this. But I have been so blessed because, you know, I live in London, but I've been spending a lot of time up here meeting all the recovery organisations on the ground. Wow, what amazing people, what amazing teams you have here. I have to say, I'm really, really impressed, and I've worked with a lot. And just the stories that I've heard and the positivity, and it is incredibly inspiring. So I'm looking forward to working with the Phoenix Cinema, because this is the first time that the festival has been a public event. And it was set up in the beginning, Recovery Street, to be, the films were meant to be shown on the street. So this is like going back to the true beginnings. This is the first time that we've been in partnership with Phoenix Cinema, which is a very well established and prestige cinema, and we have been sponsored by Leicester City Council, and we are very, very grateful to them. And we are going to have a red carpet, right? And we have got some special guests, some very special guests, and we're inviting the public to join us this year. We're saying, come and see our films. Come and talk. Come and take part in the Q&A with the filmmakers. Come and ask questions. Come and be part of. This is all about inclusion and moving away from stigma and just celebrating creativity.
So where can people find out more information about you, your work, and the festival?
So you can see we're online, our website, which is www.RSFF. Oh no, I'm not very good at this. Recovery Street Film Festival. RSFF.
Just search for Recovery Street Film Festival. It'll come up.
Yeah. RSFF.co.uk. The submissions are open until the 23rd of August, and we're on Film Freeway. But the tickets will be available through the Phoenix box office. And
when's the festival going to be shown?
26th of September, which is a Saturday between 2 and 4. And that's September is Recovery Month internationally. And also, we have an after party at the Stairway Project, which is where dear Albert lives. And we're actually sitting in a room here at the moment doing this interview. So we are going to hopefully have... I can't say who's the top liner.
You're going to have a special time.
Yeah, we're going to have a top band performing here. And, can't wait. It's the first time it's ever been in the Midlands. And I really wanted it to come to Leicester because I've met Jit Chuan and Aoni Borgaita, who are both... recovery advocates for the South Asian community, and I count them as good friends, and you know, they do a remarkable job. So I was like, yes, I want to go to Leicester.
Well, hopefully we'll have a great time.
Are you going to come along, Rob?
I will, yes.
You can't say no.
I can't say no, but no, definitely we'll be there.
Great.
Is there anything you need to add that we've not?
Oh, this year we have a special prize for something that I wanted to introduce, because I only started doing this last year. I was asked to take over. Is the 16 to 25 year age group special prize. So we're looking for films from young people, because that is a group who do not have their voices represented. And we have a lot of issues around ketamine and other substances, and there are going to be some films about that. Really, really pushing that. We want young people to be part of this as well, all ages. It's for all ages.